Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymeer Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymeer.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymeer Church of Christ.
It has been a blessing today to have Matt Cook with us. He spoke to us this morning as we focused on how we can instill faith in the lives of our young people, and we're excited that he's with us tonight as Chris and Charlie and Grace have done a lot of work putting this area-wide together. We look forward to what he has to share with us. Matt is not a stranger to many of you here. He's spoken at a lot of youth events. He and his wife Sharla have two children, Gabby, who is 4, and Connor, who is 2. Many of you have prayed for and kept up with Gabby's story, and we want to continue to be in prayer for Gabby and for the whole family. Also, Sharla is from Columbia, and so many of you know her family, the Kings, and when he and Sharla were in Cusco, Peru, doing mission efforts, they were overseen by the West 7th congregation, and so there are a lot of connections. Matt teaches now for Fried Hardeman University, working in the area specifically of missions and as a Bible professor. He also just a couple of weeks ago, I think, led a campaign of FHU students back to Cusco. And so there's that strong connection there with the mission work, as well as local preaching for the Stantonville Church of Christ in West Tennessee. I was privileged to get to go to school with Matt and Sharla, and it's just been a joy to see the way God has used them through the years and used their family and the way he continues to do so. And I know that will continue tonight as he shares a message with us. Matt.
So about a year ago, we got this little advertisement in the mail that there was going to be this half marathon, St. Jude half marathon. So anybody ever run that before, the half marathon in Memphis, maybe? Yeah, we got a couple people out here. So after what had happened with our daughter Gabby and all that, I decided, in honor of her, and if she can handle all of the stuff she went through, then I can do a half marathon. As you can tell, I'm not exactly built for half marathons. Even if I was in good shape, it's just I have short legs. It's my excuse at least. So that's not really my thing, but I said, hey, I can do this, and I will do this for her. So my brother signed up for it, and my sister-in-law signed up for it, and my brother-in-law, too. All of them signed up for it, and we said, we're gonna do this half marathon. So we started training a little bit, and it was last fall. We ran a little bit and started increasing. The problem was it was my first semester at Fried Hardeman, and I'd never taught before. And it turns out your first year is pretty challenging, pretty time-consuming. And then it turned out that I had the 7:30 class, and it became more and more difficult as the semester rolled on. And this half marathon was at the beginning of December. So at the end of the semester, as the semester rolled on, wow, I just really struggled to find the time to train. And finally, I just quit. I just said, forget it, I'll just go and we'll have fun. And so, sure enough, the time came for the marathon, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. My brother did about the same thing that I did. He's a lot like me, fat, and so he, don't tell him I said that, fatter. It's my brother, I'm allowed to say that, right? So we like to eat, and so it was hard to eat good food and train for all that stuff. My sister-in-law, on the other hand, she does CrossFit. Yeah, one of those obnoxious people who do all that stuff. And so she doesn't even have to train for the half marathon. She just does her CrossFit stuff, and then that just makes her ready for a half marathon. And the other thing I noticed about her is that she was careful about what she ate. She would be serious about eating the right things because she knew that if she was going to succeed in doing this half marathon, then eating right and filling yourself with the right kind of stuff, the right fuel is important if you're going to do something that is athletic. So finally, and this doesn't really fit with the point of what I'm telling you, the date rolls around December 2nd or 3rd or something like that, and we drive to Memphis, and we're scared, and I even bought a pair of tight pants, you know those tight pants that keeps you, it was freezing at that time of year, and don't worry, I wore shorts over them, nobody wants to see me in tight pants, so I bought those tight pants, I was ready to go, ready to freeze, and we get there, and we're at the big pasta dinner, and I'm shoveling the pasta in, because that's what you're supposed to do the night before, so I was gladly doing that, and they get up during the pasta dinner, and they say, it's so cold and there's ice out there that we've just got to cancel this thing. And my brother and I breathed a big sigh of relief. And we got in the car and we drove home, and as a reward to ourselves, we stopped at Dunkin' Donuts. Now, I say all of that to illustrate to you that we hadn't fed ourselves properly for the event that we were very fortunate to not have to do, that we got out of. People who do incredible things athletically fill themselves up with the right stuff. Now, I don't think you would even call it a diet, because they eat and they eat well, but that's the key. They don't eat junk. They don't fill their bodies and fuel themselves with junk. If you're going to do something incredible, whether it's run a marathon or do CrossFit or be a professional athlete, whatever it is, you need to fill yourself with the right stuff so that you can then perform in incredible ways. We hadn't done that very well. Tonight, Chris and Charlie and Andrew, I don't know who came with me, they've given me the theme overflow, and it's a really, really cool theme. But what I want you to know tonight, at least in this session, it's going to be a little two-part series. We're going to talk about it now, and then we're going to talk about it again in the Devo. I think most of you want to be so filled up with faith and passion and love for Jesus, especially I'm talking to the young folks here who are here tonight. You want that faith and that love and that passion to overflow in your lives and impact other people. But here's the thing. You can't have that kind of an impact on other people if you're not first filling yourself up. Just like an athlete. If he's not filling himself up or herself up with the right kind of food, with the right kind of fuel, they'll never be able to perform at a high level. And so I think we face this tension of wanting to make this big impact, but sometimes we don't feel like we're overflowing because we don't feel as if we're filled up, and there's just this tension. And how do you deal with that? Let me illustrate it in this way. If you were to picture yourself spiritually, and so this is based on how you fed yourself spiritually and how you filled up with Jesus, which would you look more like? Would you look more like a poor little beggar? Or would you look like a strong, burly lumberjack? Now, I know the girls, no girl wants to look like a strong, burly lumberjack. Play along anyway. Whatever it would be like, a strong, powerful woman, whatever. What if you could picture yourself spiritually based on how you filled yourself up and how you might even be to the point where you're ready to overflow with passion and faith and love and all that to overflow to the world, but based on how you filled yourself up, based on how you fed yourself spiritually, what would you look like? Would you look more like a beggar, or would you look more like strong, burly lumberjack? Now, I know that a lot of times we kind of base what we look like spiritually on maybe just Bible study. Well, I've read my Bible a lot. And I think there's multiple ways that you can fill yourself up spiritually. And I've got a couple of those things. If you want to fill up on Jesus in a way that you can overflow, you can fill yourself up by practicing spiritual disciplines. So you're going to read your Bible and you're going to pray, and maybe you're going to fast and you're going to practice moments of solitude and all that quiet time stuff. But you could do that all day long, and I still don't think you would fill yourself up to the point of overflow unless you're also involved in community. Unless you're also surrounding yourself with other people of faith, with your youth group or with your church, and then they help to pile on and add into all the stuff that you're doing on your own. And when you practice spiritual disciplines, and when you spend time with your spiritual community, with your church or your youth group, it's going to get you to the point of overflow. It's going to help to fill your cup. But again, based on this, based on how you're feeding yourself spiritually, how you're filling up on Jesus through spiritual disciplines or through community, what would you look like? Would you look more like a little beggar or more like strong, burly lumberjack? Let me share three passages with you, three verses that I think help us to work through this tension and work through this theme of wanting to overflow to the world with our love and with our passion, but not really knowing if we're filling up at all. Three passages. We'll start with Deuteronomy chapter 32. And I've got it on the screen so you can just read along, and I've got it right here, so I'll read it right here. So Deuteronomy chapter 32, God's people are about to go into the promised land. Moses is about to die. That's kind of the context of the end of the book of Deuteronomy. And so they're about to enter the promised land. Joshua is about to take over as the leader. And God speaks to his people through Moses. And as Moses comes to the end of his time with the people of Israel, this is what he says to his people. And when Moses had finished speaking all these words to all Israel, he said to them, "Take to heart all the words by which I am warning you today, that you may command them to your children, that they may be careful to do all the words of this law. For it is no empty word for you, watch this, but your very life. And by this word you shall live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess." I love the language that's used here. Moses gives them all of these instructions. He gives them the word of God, and then he says, be really careful that you practice this, because this isn't some little thing. This is your life. And for them, it was literally their life. If you go back to chapter 30, it says, choose life. And basically, the concept is, if you don't obey God, you're going to die when you go into the promised land. And so this was very literal for these people, but I think it was figurative as well. And it's figurative for us today. The very words of God, when we feed on God, we're not just feeding on something that might give us a little help and a little motivation for the day. It's our very life. It's your sustenance. You can't survive spiritually. You can't fill your cup spiritually if you're not filling yourself up with the Word of God, if you're not feasting on God. Jesus says a similar thing. In fact, he quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you jump over to the New Testament. So Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is facing his big temptation, his big battle with Satan. And after the very first temptation, which had to do with food, so we've been talking about food, filling yourself up with the right stuff. Satan tempts Jesus with food, and this is what Jesus, or how Jesus responds in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." I think this indicates what is at the heart of fasting. That when you fast, when you practice the spiritual discipline of fasting, you're saying there is nothing more important to me than God. I need God more than food. And so again, what are you filling yourself up on? Are you filling yourself up on junk food? Or are you filling yourself up spiritually on God? And then one more passage, and this one's a really cool one. It's just a little snippet out of this little book called 3 John. You've probably heard of it, but maybe you've never read it. And it's this little book written to a guy named Gaius, and it's kind of commending him. But at the very beginning of it, there's this little introductory comment by John. And he writes it later on in his life, probably around Ephesus. And he has this little statement for Gaius. And it's really cool. I want you to see it. As he's introducing his letter, he says this. "Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you." So that's nice. All may go well with you. "And that you may be in good health as it goes with your soul." What if somebody said to you, what if John wrote you a letter and said, "I hope that your physical health is as good as your spiritual health"? What if your physical health was equal to your spiritual health? What if whatever situation you're in spiritually, however you filled yourself up with Jesus, however you look, whether it's the beggar or the lumberjack, whatever, however you filled yourself up spiritually, whatever you look like spiritually, what if your physical health was equal to your spiritual health? What would that look like? And man, that's challenging to me. Because there are times in my life that I would probably look pretty sickly. And so based on all this, and based on this concept of filling yourself up, what would you look like? Again, if the Word of God is your life, if filling yourself up on God is everything, if there's nothing else that matters, and you're filling yourself up, what are you going to look like? Now here's the thing that I know about teenagers of Murray County. You're passionate about God, and you want to make an impact. When you go back to school this week, you want to make an impact on people around you. You want to overflow with the love of Jesus. But here's the big idea that I want you to get as we begin this little two-part series. We'll talk more about it later after supper. But here's the one thing I want you to get. Your faith won't overflow into the lives of others if you haven't first filled yourself with Jesus. So fill up. You can have all the desire in the world to be overflowing with the love of Jesus, and that's just great and that's incredible. But if you haven't first filled yourself up with Jesus, and filled yourself up with His Word, and filled yourself up by being around other Christians, then you can't overflow into the lives of others. To overflow is to be so filled up that it just kind of overflows, right? And that can't happen unless you have first filled your life up. So, what's that going to look like for you? Let's say that you get real serious. You say, you know what? This year in school, I want to make an incredible impact on everybody around me. I'm going to be so full of Jesus and full of His love that I'm going to overflow into the lives of others. But I know, first of all, I've got to fill up on Him. What would that look like? How would you do that? How would you improve in that? Well, I want to ask you four questions, and I'm going to put four symbols up here. And this is for the adults too. So let's say you want to overflow into the lives of the people around you, and you know you've got to fill up on Jesus first. How can you do that? Four questions. First of all, if you're writing this stuff down, you could just put a little plus sign. What do you need to add to your life? What's just not there that is preventing you from filling up on Jesus? What's just completely missing that you need to add today or add tomorrow? Now, I don't know what it might be for some of you. My guess is for some of us, it's some time in the Word, right? Because we all struggle with making time to sit down and spend some time in God's Word. And we all struggle with sitting down and maybe having some quiet time where we spend some time in God's Word and we pray. And if that's missing from your life, it needs to be added. You can't fill up spiritually if that's missing. Listen, I know that that's hard and that's a struggle, and all the adults here, at least a lot of us, have probably struggled with making that kind of time for ourselves our entire lives. But here's what you know. Maybe one of the biggest battles that you face is you try to practice that daily discipline of spending some time in the world. But when you get it right, when you figure it out, it'll be one of the biggest blessings that you'll ever face. Now, I want you to know, we kind of put a lot of pressure. You hear us, you know, preachers, and we talk about this. You got to pray every day and read your Bible every day. I don't want you to feel guilty about this. I don't want you to think that God is going to send you to hell if you don't read your Bible every day. Now, you may or may not disagree with that. I don't think so. I think His grace is bigger than that. But when we feast on His Word and when we feast on Him in that way, the blessings are beyond what we can possibly imagine. And we're missing out when we're not serious about adding that into our lives. So what do you need to add? I don't know what it is for you. For me, it would probably be a little bit more seriousness when it comes to spending some time in the Word every single day outside of my job, which is my job to kind of do that, and then spend some time in prayer every day. Second question, what do you need to subtract? What is in your life right now that needs to go away? If you're going to fill up on Jesus, this is the one thing that is preventing you from filling up because it's draining you. Now, this one's tough because this means giving up something that you may not want to give up. And my guess is some of you may have something in mind. You may already know what that thing is that needs to go. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's a sin. Something you've struggled with for a long time and you just haven't put out the discipline to get rid of it. And here's where it gets really tough. Maybe it's a person. Now, I know you want to overflow into the lives of others, and you can't overflow into the lives of others if you're not around other people, but there may be somebody in your life. Maybe it's a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a friend, and you've heard other people say, I'm not real sure about your relationship with that person. Here's what happens, and we'll do some more water stuff later on. It's my only water stuff today. You may fill up on Jesus, but if you have some things like this that you need to eliminate from your lives, you may fill up, but what they're doing is they're poking holes in your cup, and you can fill up all day long, and I could pour water in this, but if you've got something in your life that needs to be eliminated, it's just going to keep poking holes in your cup. And it's going to keep empty in your cup, and you will never fill up completely. Oh, you may fill up partially, but you'll never fill up to the point of overflowing because there's some stuff that you need to get rid of. Maybe it's an activity. Maybe you're doing too much. My guess is that there are some of you, teenagers and adults, who are doing too much, and you can't fill up spiritually because you've got too much going on. And it may be that you need to cut something out. Cut something good. It's not something that's bad or sinful, but it's something that's preventing you from growing spiritually. What is that? What is that for you? Maybe you're playing too many sports. I know it's high school and you want to take advantage of it. Maybe there's just too much. Maybe you're trying to do everything. Or adults, you're doing too much and you're running around too much. So the second question is, what do you need to cut? What needs to go? And then the third question, if you're going to grow spiritually, if you're going to fill your cup to the overflow, if you're going to fill up, what do you need to turn up a little bit? What needs to be increased? It's already there. It's in your life, but it needs to grow. And that could be a lot of different things. Here's the one thing maybe I'll suggest. Maybe you came tonight with your youth group, and that's great, and that's awesome. But it may be that you're not feasting enough on the community that your youth group provides. And maybe it's time to turn that up if you're going to fill up spiritually. I mean, you're around some, and like I said, you came tonight, but you're not filling up. You can't overflow because you're just not filling up enough on time with your youth group. And so maybe that's one thing that could be turned up. Maybe you're spending a little time. Maybe you're reading a little Devo every day. Maybe you need to pick that up a little bit, turn that up, crank it up a little bit. And then the last one, what do you need to turn down a little bit? What's something in your life, if you're going to fill yourself up to the point that you're going to overflow, what is it that needs to be turned down a little bit? Now, again, I don't know what it is for you, but here's my best guess. And it's probably something electronic. And this is not just the teenagers. This is the adults. Because some of you love Facebook more than some of these teenagers. And you spend more time on it than the teenagers do. But here's what it is for me. This little guy right here. How much time do I spend on, and you've probably heard stuff like this, and I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. There's nothing wrong with looking at your phone and playing on your phone. But here's the thing. You are not filling up spiritually because maybe that you're spending too much time staring at this little guy. And it may be that even while you're with your youth group, a time to fill up and expand your faith as you spend time with your brothers and sisters in Christ who are your own age, you're not taking full advantage of that because your head is stuck right here. I'm right there with you. Just this afternoon, this is how this stuff works. I was looking over stuff to prepare for tonight. And you know what's easier and more fun than looking over stuff to prepare for something like this for tonight? Especially since I was doing it on my computer. Just clicking on the baseball scores and watching a few sports highlights. And then, well, I might as well see what's going on in the Facebook world. And pretty soon I've wasted a whole hour instead of looking over this. So easy to do. And when you're too focused on this or your laptop or your iPad or Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, you're not going to be filling up to the point of overflow because you're wasting too much of your time. So, again, I think you guys want to fill up to the point that you are overflowing with the love of Jesus and making a massive impact on this world, but that can't happen if you haven't filled up on Jesus. So my challenge for you tonight is, how can you fill up on Jesus just a little bit better? What do you need to add? What do you need to cut? What do you need to turn up? What do you need to turn down? So that you can fill up to the overflow. And when we come back after our Devo, we're going to talk about what it looks like to overflow into the lives of others. It may be that for some of you, the whole concept of filling up is just completely out of your mind because you don't think it's capable, or it may be that your cup is just too full of sin and you don't know how to get rid of that. Here's the good news tonight, and this is the good news of the gospel. Before Jesus fills you up, He will clean out all the bad, and He'll clean out all the old, and He'll clean out all the sin, and He'll clean out all the guilt. And then He'll fill you with His love. And if you haven't experienced the amazing love of Jesus as He washes your sins away through repentance and baptism, tonight would be a great night to clean out your cup. I still got another thing. Don't cut me out here yet. We're not done yet. It's all right. When I was in college, I lived in Brigham Storm. Andrew was in there. Remember Mama Jean. Well, here's what happened. Some of you, how many of you are seniors this year? Any seniors? Okay, so some of you are going to go to college, and here's what you've got to learn. Maybe you're about to go, are you about to go like this year, or you're going to be senior this year? Senior this year. Okay, so here's what happened right before you go to college. your mom has to teach you how to do laundry. In my case, I'd never done laundry. My mom was great. She did all my laundry. And so like 2 weeks before school started, she said, "Okay, son, it's time to man up." She didn't say it exactly like that, but she taught me how to do my laundry. So when you get to college, you go to the laundry room of your dorm and you do your laundry when you run out of underwear and you have nothing else to wear. And so you do that. And here's what happened. It was probably my senior year. I was doing a little fill-in preaching around in the area. And so I had this white shirt, this white dress shirt that I would wear sometimes. And it was, I hate to say this, it's just being honest. When you wear a white t-shirt or a white dress shirt repeatedly under a suit jacket, here's what happens. It gets pit stains. Okay, everybody knows that. It's just real. Be real here. It's real life. And so this white dress shirt had some yellow pit stains. And as a college student, I didn't know how to get rid of that. And so I took the shirt. I went down to do my laundry, saw it, thought, not worth it. And I threw it over in the corner like the responsible dorm citizen that I was. Didn't even throw it away. Just threw it in the corner. So couple weeks later, I come back into the laundry room. I'm out of clothes again. And hanging up in the corner is this white dress shirt. Perfectly clean. Just perfectly white. And attached to it is a note. And I have this note. And this note is in my Bible, but I forgot my Bible. Thank you to Andrew for letting me borrow your Bible today. How bad is that? The preacher didn't bring his Bible. But I've got this note, and I remember it because it made such an impact on me. It said, "Dear owner of white dress shirt size, I wish I could fit into it today." And it says, "Took shirt, washed with like Clorox," and she named the stuff that she washed. And then she said, number two, "rewashed in warm water." And then the conclusion was, "Will the owner of this nice shirt please pick it up and continue to wear it?" And it said, signed, it actually didn't say love, it said, "signed, Mama Jean." And Mama Jean was kind of cheesy. She got on our nerves. We loved her to death. So that was kind of this weird thing. But then at the very bottom of the note, she put, "note." This was the best thing that Mama Jean ever did. She said, "note, doesn't this remind you of what the Lord does for us?" Yes. Absolutely. Because he takes us when we were just thrown into the corner and we're dirty and we're stained and our cup is dirty and we couldn't possibly fill it up with Jesus because it's too dirty. He takes it and he washes it. He cleanses it and he gives us a fresh start. And then he fills us up to the overflow. And so here in a minute we're going to sing an invitation song. And if you want to experience the cleansing power of Jesus, I know the folks here at Graymere would love to help you with that. As we close, I want to introduce you to a guy named Silas. I think the remote's up here still. This is Silas. Really cute kid. I think probably 2.5, 3 years ago, I'm not exactly sure, he was diagnosed with the same kind of cancer that our daughter was, hepatoblastoma. And I don't know the details of his story, but he didn't get a liver transplant. I don't know why. I don't know all that stuff. Wish I did. And the cancer spread, and it became obvious that he was going to die. And so last April, it was April 24th, 2013, he was beginning to make an impact on people all over the world. His parents were sharing his story, and everybody knew he was going to die, but he was full of faith, and the things he said were so amazing, and he just made an impact on lots of people. And so a news crew came out to his house to talk to his mom, to talk to him, just to do this nice little news story that they knew everybody would love. And so the news anchor and his mom are talking, and they're talking about the situation. At one point, and this is on video, you could Google it, find it. It's on video. He hears his mom and the news person talking, and he hears them say the word bad news. And there was some pretty serious bad news about his situation. And so he looks up at his mom and he says, "Mommy," this is on video, he says, "Mommy, I don't know what the bad news is." And so she looks down at him and said, "Okay, Silas, well, what's the good news?" And he looks up at her and on the camera he says, "The good news is that I'm going to heaven." What an incredible perspective of just a 4-year-old. That was April 24th of 2013. On May 25th of last year, just a month after that video was taken, Silas passed away. And because he was so, even as a four-year-old, he was almost five, he missed his fifth birthday by like 5 or 6 days, he was so full of faith and so full of the love of Jesus that he impacted people all over the world. All over the world, people were following his story, and because he was overflowing with love, they were amazed by that. And if a four-year-old can make that kind of an impact, imagine the impact that everybody in this room could make if we all filled ourselves up with Jesus to the point that we began to overflow into the lives of others. Imagine the impact that we could make. But we can't make that kind of impact. We can't overflow into the lives of others unless we first filled ourselves up with Jesus. So fill up. Fill up and imagine the impact that we can make. If we can help you in any way at all tonight, won't you come as we stand and sing together?